Okay, I'm on. Good morning. Well, last Sunday we talked about the role of the Spirit of God in our life. We talked about that it is impossible to become a Christian, and it's only made possible through the power of the Holy Spirit. We also talked about that it's impossible to live the Christian life, and the only way to live the Christian life is through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And this sermon this morning is a follow-up to last Sunday's sermon, and it's entitled, Be Filled. See, in the Scripture, the Holy Spirit is known to be the source of power. The Holy Spirit is known to be the source of power, and we find a scripture verse in Acts 1:8, and it says, "With the Holy Spirit, when He comes upon you, you will receive power. And when you receive power," He says, "you become witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and to the uttermost part of the world." So last Sunday we talked about that the one part, the first step of being a Christian is when we receive Christ, our Lord and personal Savior. The Bible promises us, according to Ephesians, that the Holy Spirit lives in us. So let me be clear this morning that when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we don't ask for the Holy Spirit to come into our life again. Because if He's already in residence in our life, then definitely the last thing that we want to do is to ask for another spirit to come. Because if another spirit comes, that's not from the Spirit of God. Amen? So we become a Christian, and when we become a Christian, we have the Spirit of God. And we talked about how we need to learn to walk in the Spirit. Because the Spirit of God is power to live the Christian life. But the question is this. A lot of people sometimes will say, you know, I just can't believe so-and-so. He says he's a Christian, but yet look at the way he lives his life. You haven't heard that before? And maybe perhaps some even have made a comment and hurt you deeply and probably has caused you to become discouraged in your Christian walk because someone had said such a thing. Well, let me just say this. You can become a Christian and have the Holy Spirit in you, but the manifestation of the power of the Spirit of God in your life takes discipline in a daily exercise of yielding to the Spirit's power. So this morning we will look at how can we tap into that power. How can the power of the Spirit of God in us will live and be manifested in and through our lives. Our text is found in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through verse 20. And here's what it says.
Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
So he says, do not be foolish. You look at verse 17, he says, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And that is the goal. But we're going to focus on 18, because for us to know God's will in our life, verse 18 becomes key. He says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. It says, instead, be filled with the Spirit. Now, we talked a little earlier about that we have the Spirit of God in our lives. But in order for the Spirit of God to manifest in our lives, this verse contains the key. So this command, there are two commands in this verse. The first command is simply saying that we are given here is not to give ourselves over to something that takes over control of how we act, speak, and function. That's why he said, do not get drunk with wine. I think all of us understand what that looks like, right? A drunk person becomes unrealistic. A drunk person thinks that he's better than what he really is. Stronger than you know, I mean, he thinks he's strong. He thinks he's good looking. And let me tell you, being drunk causes you to lose control of yourself. I mean, it deceives you. In Indonesia, we teach people how to speak conversational English. And man, if they were at their normal self, they are so afraid to say anything because they're afraid to make a mistake. But let me tell you, get them juiced up a little bit. Oh, they think they are Shakespeare. They just go on and on and on. So what is Paul is trying to say here? Just do not get drunk with wine, because it says drinking wine leads to debauchery. Now, the definition of debauchery is excessive indulgence of the appetite, especially lust, habitual lewdness. In other words, actions that lead to become morally astray. So what he's simply saying here is this. In order for us to determine the Lord's will, in order for us to let the Spirit of God live through us, what we need to do is to not allow these things, the fruits of the flesh, not to allow the fruits of the flesh control our life. Now, what are the fruits of the flesh? We've read the scripture, and I will just say things to remind you. He says the desires of the flesh are sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery. There's the word again. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. So what he's simply saying here is that in order for us to be controlled by the Spirit of God, we need not to let these things control our lives. But there's a second part to this command. The second part, he says, be filled with the Spirit. He said, Paul says, be filled with the Spirit. Now, I don't want to belabor it, but in the Greek word, this is a Greek word that in Greek it says, en plereo. En means at the present point in time. Plereo means to be filled, to be saturated. So if you put it together, it's simply talking about being under the control of the Spirit right now, at this time. So in a way, it's simply saying that we need to come to a place in our life where the Spirit of God can take control of our lives. In other words, that the Spirit of God can have His way in and through our lives. Let me point to you several things about this word be filled. The first thing that we see about the word be filled here is that these words are not a suggestion. It is not a casual statement, but it is a command. You know, oftentimes as human beings, we have a wonderful way of trying to redefine God's direct commands. And I think that's just human nature, because our children do it. When we were children, we did it with our parents. We tried to redefine, you know, what our parents told us not to do or what we should do. Sometimes, and we get frustrated because, didn't I tell you? Well, I thought, right? Or sometimes we try to twist it in a way it meets our needs. I mean, I like my little nephew, Arvey. You know, the family was getting ready to go somewhere, and mom says, okay, Arvey, I want you to turn off the light when you leave your room, okay? Because we don't need to have lights while we are out. And Arvey says, yes, mama. And sure enough, he did what he's supposed to do, and he got in the car, and mom says, Arvey, the lights are still on. He said, why didn't you turn the light? The light's off. I said, Mama, I said, you didn't tell me turn the lights off. You told me turn the light off. And I think oftentimes we sort of deal with God. We sort of try to redefine what God is saying. But he's simply saying here, as children of God, it is his command that we become filled with the Spirit of God. And not only that, this phrase is a command, but it's also in a passive voice, which means that in order to be filled with the Spirit, we must always go through a process that leads to it. So in other words, not because that you have become a Christian and you have the Spirit of God in you, that's not mean that it automatically, that our lives become under the control of the Spirit of God. So, I brought you my little flashlight. This is a pretty dependable flashlight. I have this in my garage, and every time I need it, as long as it's got fresh batteries, man, it's working it's wonderful. I mean, it's bright. But one thing that this flashlight, though, is this, it just can't function on its own. It's got to have batteries. It's got to have a source of power. In the same manner that our Christian life cannot function either, it's got to have a source of power, and that is the Holy Spirit. And so this flashlight is functional in all its ways, but without the power, there's nothing that's going to come out of it. See? And so what do we do? It's common sense. All we need to do is read the instruction and screw the top, okay? Put the batteries. I don't know. So we know to unscrew the top of this flashlight and get a battery and fill the canister with the source of power, the battery. Oh, wait a minute. That's the worst thing if your illustration fails, right? Okay. Well, I know why. Well, the power source cannot get here, cannot fill this canister because something is in it. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the same concept that we can't be filled with the Spirit. Our life cannot be under the control of the Spirit of God if our life is controlled by something in it. Just like this battery cannot get in there because there's something getting in the way. So, I mean, what's in here? Oh, whoa, that's a lot of stuff. So we have to clean it. And just like our life, a lot of things can get in the way. And because of that, we are not controlled by the Spirit. Huh. Lust can get in the way. Adultery. Fornication. I think it was Maxwell that was sitting on the plane and heard these two ladies talking. He says, you know, I just can't help it. I'm falling in love with this man, but problem is that he's married. And I know it's wrong, but I think he's just the right man for me. And then as they departed and got off the plane, he says, I'll see you at church. Ladies and gentlemen, we cannot be filled by the Holy Spirit when something is controlling our lives right now. What else do we see here? Fear. Our lives can't be filled with the Spirit when there's fear in the future. Fear of what might happen. I'm pretty sure you don't have those, aren't you? So I guess there's room for the Spirit of God in our life. How about, I know South Orlando doesn't have a problem with this, greed. We're not selfish. We're not self-serving. We're not self-seeking. But ladies and gentlemen, that gets in the way for the Spirit of God to fill our lives. How about guilt? Oh, no, we past failures. How about this one, we don't have pride in this. We don't have a pride issue in this church. The people that I've met in this church are humble people. You know, the source of pride are like wealth, position, and accomplishments. How about and this one I think I think we don't have a problem with this one either. Unforgiveness. When someone wrongs us, I'm pretty sure that most of us are so willing to be forgiving, right? They don't have to earn our forgiveness. But ladies and gentlemen, we cannot be filled by the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit manifesting in the way we live our lives if our lives are controlled by something and filled with something. The fruits of the flesh. See, when our lives is empty of that, then the power source, the Holy Spirit, will have freedom to come into our lives. And as He is in our lives, all of a sudden He is able to influence the way we think. He is able to influence the way we feel. He's able to influence the way we deal with people. He's able to change our lives, and consequently, our life becomes the light of the world. It is a process. Because every day, sin is crouching down at our door. The sin of pride, the sin of selfishness. That's why it's an everyday journey. It is a process. We talked about this last Sunday. That every day it's so important that we get up in the morning, and the first thing that we need to do if we are going to walk in the Spirit is that we must acknowledge and believe that from our heart, that we are helpless to do good apart from the enablement of the Holy Spirit. We have to start there. Secondly, let's read it all together. It says, pray that God helps us . Okay, so maybe it's what it is. It's in your notes. Last time you cheated, you look at your notes. This time you're not looking at your notes, huh? So number two, he says, pray that God helps us to yield to His lead and trust His promise that He will cause us to desire to live according to God's word. Third, act. And we made it a point last Sunday that wasn't the first step, because if that was the first order of business during the day, then any good that is accomplished, it becomes ours. And then finally, he said we need to thank God for any virtue attained or any good deed performed. That's exactly what God says in John chapter 15, verse 5. He says, without Me, you can do nothing. We cannot do anything that is pleasing to God, because even our good deeds are filthy rags in the sight of God. Only when our lives is empowered by the Spirit of God, when it becomes pleasing, the things that we do. So, ladies and gentlemen, we cannot be filled with the Spirit of God, not unless things that are controlling our lives, we start moving away. That's why it's so important that every day we spend time on the Word of God. Every day we spend time praying and asking God for His power. That as we leave our home, as we get out of our bed, that we relate to our wife, we relate to our children, we relate to people that we meet that day in the power of the Holy Spirit. See, not only that this is a command, but it is something that we have to go through a process and that leads into the end result of being filled in the Holy Spirit. And finally, we find this word be filled in the present tense. That means in Greek, it is a continuous process. Now, that's where this illustration ends. Because the power of this battery is going to die. It's going to run out. So you have to replace it and once again put new batteries so that they will have power. But ladies and gentlemen, hear what I'm going to say. The power of the Holy Spirit never runs out. It is in your life, so its power is available to you and to me. It was available to the disciples back then. It's available to you as well because Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. And because He is your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit is in your life. But the problem is this. Although the Spirit of God is a constant power that enables our life to live for Him, but oftentimes we allow things to get in the way. The connection sometimes get compromised. And because of that, it will not emit light. Or if did, it will be flickering. When I was a little kid, I grew up in an agricultural community. It's a poor country, Philippines. So we didn't really invest, a lot of people didn't really invest in fertilizer. But they one thing that they did constantly was every year they would have fruit trees in their backyard, you know, several, you know, at least, you know, four or five, even up to a dozen. And every year, it never fails, they would go and build a fire underneath those trees. And what they do is they put, you know, fresh cut grass so that it will create a lot of smoke, or something moist put on that on top of that fire so that the smoke will just engulf the whole tree. And they did this for every single tree in their yard. And I asked them, and as a kid, you know, you're curious, why do you all do this? And of course, they said, well, because we want the trees to bear fruit every year. And let me tell you, it never failed. It never failed because every fruit-bearing season, you will see in the neighborhood that all the fruit trees have fruits in them. And so, you know, as an understanding, I thought, I guess the smoke caused the trees to bear fruit. But then when I became an adult, I thought that was kind of dumb. Because that smoke cannot cause that tree to bear fruit. The reason that a tree have fruits is because it was a fruit tree in the first place. And in the same manner, as Christians, we bear the fruits of the Spirit because we are born of the Spirit. And I realized that we smoke those trees. They smoke those trees because in the smoke, it allowed the tree to be released from all the parasites and the bugs that are sucking all the nutrients that hinders that tree to bear fruit. Ladies and gentlemen, for the lack of better word, we need to allow our life to be smoked out by the power of the Spirit of God. So that all the sin parasites that are latching on to our lives will fall off, and consequently our life will start bearing the fruits of the Spirit. But here's what I've experienced in my life. You know, in the initial journey of the Christian life, seems like it's difficult to go through the process of asking God to express and manifest His power through our lives, to have His way in and through our lives. But ladies and gentlemen, one thing that I could testify to you is this, that when we regularly, on a daily basis, constantly ask for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, we find ourselves that the more and more we engage in that process, all of a sudden it becomes natural to us to get up in the morning and say, Lord, I want you to live through me. The very reason sometimes that we are not filled with the Spirit of God, it is because of our perception, of our attitude, of the way we understand who God is. I love how Paul goes through this process. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14, I think you've memorized this verse, but it's so crucial, it's so critical in the process of being controlled by the Spirit. And here's what it says.
Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus.
I really believe that if we don't have the proper understanding of the absolute grace of God and how He paid for our sin once and for all, Satan uses the power of guilt, the power of the feeling of unforgiveness, the power of feeling unworthy and being in prison as a tool wherein our lives cannot be filled with the Spirit. I love the expression that Paul says. He says, one thing I do. He says, I'm not perfect. I think we could resonate with that, right? The only person that I know is perfect other than Christ was a guy, a friend of mine that I long know a long time ago. His name was Perfecto. But I don't think there's an English word, I was the equivalent to that, because I don't think anyone here would be walking if we didn't name Perfect. Except for a WWE wrestler, Mr. Perfect. Was that Ric Flair? Was that? I don't know. But Paul says, here's what I do. He says, I forget what is past. No, is Paul saying that, you know, if you do something wrong, just forget it? No, Paul was simply saying this. When you sin, you need to forget it. Because when you sin, you take that sin, you take that failure, and put it under the cross and say, Lord, thank you. Because 2,000 years ago, you covered that sin. You paid for that sin. And I am free. And you have forgotten it. Therefore, I need to forget it. It says, one thing I do, he says, I forget the past, and he says, I press on towards the goal. Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, I think we could use more encouragement like this. I think the very reason that we are here in this church, because God has put us together so that we will encourage one another to press on. The sad thing about the body of Christ, it seems like we are quicker to judge than to forgive. We're quick to criticize rather than offer help. There's one thing I do. I forget the past and press on. I think we need to do that. We need to encourage one another. When was the last time that you picked up the phone of Hub Lunch with somebody, just encourage them to say, it's okay, brother, I know you failed, but that sin Christ has died for, now what you need to do, what we need to do together is we need to press on. That's what we need to do. Let's do a little practice. Turn to the person next to you, to the left and the right, say, oh, brother, it's okay, press on. Come on. Wow. Can you imagine if we're doing this on a regular basis? So the Bible says if we are going to live our life through the power of the Holy Spirit, we need to through that process. Because as every day we let go of things that are filling our lives more and more, the power of God becomes evident in the way we live our lives. And here's the beautiful thing, though. When we become filled with the Spirit, here's some things that we notice. It is not an exhaustive list, but in our text, in verse 19, here's what it says.
Speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit.
Ah. The first thing, if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, the first thing that changes are the things that come out of our mouth. All of a sudden, we find ourselves that our mouth, you know, when we see somebody that's hurting, we hurt with them. When we see somebody that's celebrating, we celebrate with them. Now, we then know that the Spirit of God is at work in our life because we are looking to edify a brother and a sister. When we become filled with the Spirit, we become concerned in edifying and building the body of Christ. Oh, I love the next verse. The next verse is verse 19. In verse 19 again, he says, read verse 19 again.
Speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord.
Oh, wow. The sign that we are filled with the Spirit is that we have music in our heart. This is the very thing although when things are going wrong in and about us, but yet that peace is there. Because there's a song in our heart. There's a music that's given by the Spirit and just wants to just come out. You know, I love it when visitors come to the church, and I've heard this many times. They said, you know, Pastor, I love worshiping in this church because in this church, I see people raising their hand. I see people swaying their bodies. I see people standing still. But yet all together the same, they are praising God. And that's what it ought to be. We are not called to be uniform, but we are called to be one in spirit. Sometimes we have this sense of, in church, you should act differently. You know, you should act the way God has made you. You know, sometimes some people come to church and then they go, okay, joyful, joyfully adored thee, holy. I mean, because it's just, well, why are you singing that way? Because that's what I was told. That's the way you sing songs in church. But watch them as they leave that door and get to their house. They crank the volume. What's wrong with that picture? I love what John Wesley says. What John Wesley has said about worship. Look at what John Wesley says.
Sing lustily with good courage. Beware of singing as if you were half dead or half asleep. But lift up your voice with strength. Be no more afraid of your voice now. Now ashamed of its being heard. Then when you sung the songs of Satan.
When we hear the songs of Satan, we're just... Well, when it comes to church music, oh no, we're not in the Baptist church now. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not trying to say that you got to sway your body. I'm not trying to say that you need to be like everyone else. What I'm saying is this. Act naturally just as how God created you and worship with your brothers and sisters in the uniqueness that God has made you. Can you imagine what church would be if churches really acted according to the will of God, according to the filling of the Spirit of God? Then we would have this contention and division and biases to one another. No wonder why people don't want to become part of the Christian faith. And finally, verse 20 says, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Always giving thanks with everything. When we're filled with the Spirit of God, not only that our conversation changes, not only that it changes the way we live our lives, our heart has a song and wants to share that with our fellow men, but most importantly, we become grateful people. Look, folks, if we want to dwell on the negative things that are happening, there's plenty of them, and there's not enough time in a day to name all the bad things that are happening. But Paul says, whatever is lovely, whatever is praiseworthy, says these are the things that we need to dwell upon. Let us pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, Lord, I will be the first one to admit that in so many ways, Lord, I have not let you take control of my life. But thank you, Lord, for the promise that because of what you've done on the cross of Calvary, I could take these failures and put it under the cross and know, Lord, that it's been covered and paid for already. So, Heavenly Father, as you have released us from guilt and forgiven us from our sins, that, Heavenly Father, that may we focus on pressing forward to the call that you have placed in our lives and as to become an instrument of you. So Heavenly Father, fill us with your Spirit as we relate to our wife, husband, children, co-workers, and people that we meet. And that people, Lord, will recognize that indeed you are Lord, you are our Master, and is worthy of love, praise, thanksgiving, and service. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people say,
Amen. Amen.